This is Jay Sekulow, round two, the debate between the President of the United States and Governor Romney.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
23 million people struggling to find a job. And a lot of them, as you say, Candy, have been out of work for a long, long, long time. The president's policies have been exercised over the last 4 years, and they haven't put Americans back to work.
We haven't heard from the governor any specifics beyond Big Bird and eliminating funding for Planned Parenthood in terms of how he pays for that. 4 years ago, I told the American people and I told you I would cut taxes for middle-class families, and I did. I told you I'd cut taxes for small businesses, and I have.
I think you know better. I think you know that these last 4 years haven't been so good as the president just described, and that you don't feel like you're confident that the next 4 years are going to be much better either.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This calls into question the president's whole policy in the Middle East. Look what's happening in Syria, in Egypt, now in Libya.
When it comes to this issue, I am ultimately responsible for what's taking place there because these are my folks. You know that I mean what I say.
I think the president just said correctly that the debacle does stop at his desk. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we want to know how you felt the debate went. Did it impact the way you're voting? How do you feel the momentum is moving right now for either Governor Romney or for President Obama? What answers were you concerned with? Did you get answers to the questions you had? Again, our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I'm in the studio with David French, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ. I've also got Dan Bennett in our Government Affairs Office in Washington, D.C. I'm going to give let's everybody get perspective. I thought it was a good debate for President Obama and a good debate for Governor Romney. Do I think it was a knockout by either of them? I don't believe it was a knockout. However, because Governor Romney had such a significant momentum shift in the first debate, I think that momentum will continue for him. Whether it'll be enough to win the election, we'll see. But I thought they both did well. President Obama did better than he did the first time, that's for sure. And we'll see how the people's reaction is. And then, of course, you've got all the issues with the moderator, Candy Crowley. We'll get into that. Dan, what's your impression?
Generally speaking, Jay, I agree with you. I think both candidates made their base happy. I think the president's base is going to be happy that he was more aggressive. I thought Governor Romney was again good again, but we always look at those voters in the middle, Jay. I think if there was one moment that they might seize on, it might have been that 30-minute or that 30-second, you know, withering recitation of the president's record that Governor Romney gave. I think that that might be something that the president struggles with. I thought that was the governor's best moment.
You're talking about when Governor Romney went through the what's happened over the last 4 years and what that means.
Right.
We're going to get that for everybody in a moment. David, you've been reviewing some of the comments that have been put up on the internet from a lot of the news sources. What's your sense? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, what's interesting is there seems to be a dichotomy in the reaction. A lot of viewers seem to think that Obama won overall, but it was close. But then when they break it down, they think Mitt won big time on the economy. And that
I think Governor Romney, it was pretty clear on the economy issue, carried the day. I think it got a little weaker on foreign policies. He had moments that were good, Governor Romney, but we need to make sure that, you know, people understand. I think the Libya question, which we're going to get into, the governor had a real chance to really hit home on that. I think we may have let that go a little bit. Maybe that was being deferential to the president or just a mistake. I don't know. What else are you seeing?
Well, and I think you're right. I mean, but on the foreign policy stuff, next week you're going to have a whole foreign policy debate. So there's going to be ad infinitum discussion of Libya that will allow both candidates to really explore that beyond that little soundbite that Candy Crawley created back there.
Well, that became quite the turmoil. We'll get into that when we come back from the break. Hey, folks, here's what we're doing today. We're going to be taking your calls, but I want you to know what the powers of the presidency are. To understand what a president does in our Constitution. So get Foundations of Freedom. It's our gift to you absolutely free at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 or aclj.org. And, folks, I want to encourage you, make an online gift. Support the work of the ACLJ, keeping us in the fight. aclj.org, that gift's tax deductible, or 1-877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's website at aclj.org. Also, stay informed through Twitter and Facebook, bringing you breaking news and analysis as it happens. The ACLJ aggressively works to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. That's our commitment to you. Cornerstone of our mission since the ACLJ began nearly 25 years ago. The ACLJ on the front lines, and we want you to have an important resource, free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stay in touch with the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
I can do anything better than you.
No, you can.
Yes, I can.
No, you can.
Yes, I can.
No, you can.
Yes, I can.
Well, let me tell you this.
I
think we got to play the one that was probably the most feisty of the exchanges, and that was the exchange between Governor Romney and President Obama about the statement in the Rose Garden. Then we'll get into some analysis of what was actually said there. Let's go ahead and play that one.
I think it's interesting. The president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror. It did as well take 2 weeks or so for the whole idea of there being a riot out there about this tape to come out. You're correct
this,
about that.
The administration.
I'm going to jump in right here. Do we have the sound of Candy Crowley later saying that Governor Romney was probably right? Let's go ahead and play that one too.
And make no mistake.
No. We'll go back. Let's go ahead and find it, guys. It's the one where we've got a lot of sound bites we're playing, folks, so if we don't have it, we'll go back to it later. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have, Than?
A lot of folks calling in, actually, from swing states, Jay. Let's start with Kelly on line two from Colorado. Kelly, you're on the air.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks.
I was amazed in a negative way, I guess, by the president's decorum. I believe he appeared to be very unpresidential, hostile, very rude, and I believe that it did nothing but sway more Americans to Romney. We need someone with strength, not through aggression, but pure strength for America, and someone who's positive, and Romney is that. And I believe that Romney, again, kept his cool. He had good points. Both of them did well, but I believe the American people now know that we need a change.
Well, it's interesting. The president came out very aggressive. I suspect, you got to know this, that was very intentional. He needed to reassure his base that he was in the fight. And he probably did reassure the base that he was in the fight. He was aggressive. I didn't think it was particularly presidential. But he did, I think, assure that he was in, you know, that he was in the fight. He showed up to participate, I guess is the best way to say what took place. David, what have you been reading? What are people saying about this?
Well, you know, there's a lot of emphasis certainly on the left, and I've been reading a lot of sites on the left this morning that were really applauding the president's aggression. And it's interesting that on that side of the aisle, it seems to be that aggression has become a substitute for you know, the presidential demeanor that people have come to expect.
Right.
I mean, both with Biden and Obama, they've applauded the aggression. You know, but I do think that when voters are looking to decide who's going to be a president, they're looking for a little bit more than just feistiness and a little bit more than, you know, the hand gestures and the facial expressions.
Yeah, it's the content of what's said. Interesting report just came out, and that is, according to the CNN's official timekeepers, President Obama got 44 minutes and 4 seconds of speaking time. Governor Romney, 40 minutes and 50 seconds, so about a 3-minute differential to the president. It was pretty clear that Candy Crowley was differential to President Obama. That was pretty obvious as well. We got 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. Let me tell you what we're doing today, folks. I want to get you the foundations of freedom. That's our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights. We think you really need to understand when we're talking about the election what it means to have a president of the United States as commander-in-chief. What does all this mean? And we've got this laid out for you in our booklet, Foundations of Freedom. Again, call us at 1-877-989-2255. We'll send it to you absolutely free. That's 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. And again, I want to encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. Online gifts, tax-deductible gifts to the ACLJ. Keep us in the fight. We're getting in that last quarter of the year pretty soon, and we sure could use your support and your help, and we appreciate that. Helps us keep this broadcast on the air, but more important, keeps us engaged in this fight. Dan, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Phyllis calling from Texas on line 3. Phyllis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Phyllis.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree with the last caller. I thought Obama was not presidential. He had some snickers on his face. But my biggest concern was the lies that he portrayed last night to the American people, one regarding the Libya attack and also the offshore drilling and the drilling in the United States. I understand this morning the offshore drilling is down 62%.
Right.
And also, Jay, my concern is I wish Romney would address, why are we giving $400-something million to Egypt?
Well, that didn't come out. That did not come up in the debate. It's $1.2 billion, by the way. But so far that hasn't been released because of the good work of members of Congress and I will say our folks as well. Interestingly, on that issue of Egypt and Libya, the next debate's all foreign affairs, David. I think we're going to get a lot more into it then.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're going to talk so much about Israel, Libya, Egypt, Iran. I mean, that's going to be – we're going to probably spend an hour on those topics alone in the foreign policy debate. I mean, you know, one thing that is going to be a big challenge for Governor Romney in the foreign policy debate is that he's been making a point again and again that a strong foreign policy depends on a strong American economy. And that's going to be one way that I predict he will try to bring the economy into the foreign policy debate. And so I think we're not going to leave the economy entirely behind next week either.
Well, the economy issue obviously came up, and so did Benghazi. Let me play for you a 35-second soundbite from President Obama, number 48. I'm going to follow that up by a Romney response.
I said that we would put in place health care reform to make sure that insurance companies can't jerk you around, and if you don't have health insurance, that you'd have a chance to get affordable insurance.
Now, there you have it. That was the insurance one. Let's go now to, let's tell you what, let's take another phone call. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Christian calling from Idaho on line 5. Christian, you are on the air.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay.
Okay, my question is on the deficit. Obama has made comments on Romney getting tax cuts that a lot of people at his social status or wealth status could not get. Why would we vote him in to put that future burden on our children when the deficit is $10 trillion more than it was?
Here's what he's saying. I mean, he's saying his physical policies, his fiscal policies are working. It's just taking a long time, and you need more time. That's the thematic of what he's doing here, correct? I mean, it's kind of I got the theme from the president of the president's look. It's working. It's taking a long time. It was harder than we thought. I need 4 more years to get the job done. That's the president's theme.
Exactly the message from last night. Jay, they spent the first 40 minutes on these questions, and rightfully so. I mean, it's the issue driving the campaign, but it really comes down to one question. Do you believe that these fiscal problems are fixed by broadening that tax base and bringing rates down? Or, like the president, do you think that the government is the catalyst for stimulating the economy? Two diametrically opposed visions. They laid them out. They just disagree with one another. And I think that is the single question that this election is going to turn on. I thought that was on display last night.
Let me tell you an interesting thing here. Let me play something for you. This is number. It's very short. It's number 37 and number 38. I'm going to play them together. Take a listen.
We've gone through a tough 4 years. There's no doubt about it. 4 years ago, I told the American people and I told you I would cut taxes for middle-class families, and I did. I told you I'd cut taxes for small businesses, and I have.
Well, actually, he didn't. but he's right. It's been a tough 4 years, and it was he inherited a tough situation. Nobody doubts that. But after 4 years as president, you have to take some form of responsibility here. The big question of the day has to be, does this debate move the needle any? And you know, David shaking his head saying no. I tend to think it. I think the momentum that's set for Governor Romney continues. I do think President Obama reassured his base as well, which makes this an unbelievably close presidential election.
That's right. I was talking to somebody late last night and predicting that by the end of this campaign, we're going to be looking at a real clear politics polling average, probably within 2 points either way. It's going to be that close. And there would have to be a phenomenally lopsided third debate, I think, to move the needle appreciably one way or the other.
What's your sense, Dan?
I think that's accurate. You know, I think these debates almost never sway someone's base, but we saw that happen in the first debate. That's why you saw such great numbers. The president actually lost support within his own base during that debate. That did not happen last night. I don't think there was a lot of movement in the middle either. A lot of that was due to the town hall format. But if anything moved last night, Jay, it was just a matter of a point or two. So I agree with Dave. We're talking about razor-thin margins, and we're talking about 6 or 8 states that are still in play.
Well, we're going to see how that all develops. Listen, this is number 44, Governor Romney talking about some of the tax policies of the Obama administration. Number 44.
The president wants to do well, I understand. But the policies he's put in place, from Obamacare to Dodd-Frank to his tax policies to his regulatory policies, these policies combined have not led this economy take off and grow like it could have.
I think that kind of points out to you the two differentials of where these candidates are going on this. We'll get into the immigration debate when we come back, and we're taking more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, folks, we're offering Foundations of Freedom today. You can get it by calling us at 1-877-989-2255. It's the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, and it's our gift to you, and I want you to have this so you understand the powers of the presidency. 877-989-2255. Now, we've got a lot of information also posted at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And I want to encourage you today to support the work of the ACLJ. Our online giving, which is becoming a big part of the ACLJ's work. We're a little bit behind this month. We could use some help. So if you could go to aclj.org and make a tax-deductible gift of any amount, that really helps us out. So aclj.org, or if you want that Foundations of Freedom, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's website at aclj.org. Also, stay informed through Twitter and Facebook, bringing you breaking news and analysis as it happens. The ACLJ aggressively works to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. That's our commitment to you. Cornerstone of our mission since the ACLJ began. began nearly 25 years ago. The ACLJ on the front lines, and we want you to have an important resource free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stay in touch with the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Well, the economy was not the only issue that was discussed at the debate. Social issues were discussed. President Obama really put a focus back on the George Bush presidency, not surprising, number 36. Apparently we don't have that. So we'll go back and we're having a little bit of a problem on the technical end here. All right, folks, let's go back to the phones. That's what we're going to do. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who do we have next, Dan?
A lot of folks want to weigh on the debate, Jay. Let's go to another swing state. We've got George from Virginia calling on line 4. George, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, Jay. Hey, I just wanted to point out the question regarding Libya. The question from the person in the audience was, why wasn't something done when the request for heightened security occurred, which was much prior to the actual incident? When Obama answered, he started out with the incident and saying, since the incident occurred, we have had heightened security throughout the region. So
because that was the only answer he could give. I mean, let me tell you, that was well planned and well rehearsed because he knew this question was coming. I think he gave the only answer he could give, and the problem is, I think Governor Romney had a really good chance to kind of run very aggressively towards the whole video nonsense and going to the floor of the UN 6 times and saying the video. And he didn't do it. That, you know, that happens in the heat of a debate. I mean, but the president was basically doing whatever he could to avoid a direct answer on that question because the direct answer, David's awful.
Oh, the direct answer is beyond awful. I mean, here you have an administration that ignored repeated requests for additional security, an administration that, when others were pulling their diplomatic missions from Benghazi because of the increased danger, all the administration did was pull security from Benghazi. And that's what's astounding about this. We've said it before on this program, but often in Washington, the phrase is that the cover-up
is worse than the crime.
Well,
yeah.
Here, the crime is worse than the cover-up.
Yeah, and I tell you, it did not come out clear. I will guarantee you this. In the next debate on Monday, they're both going to be very crystallized in their response. All right, we're going back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me play a bite here. We'll see if we may have a technical difficulty here, folks. If we do, we'll go right back to your calls. But I want to play, this is about the whole Benghazi and the Middle East situation. It's Governor Romney, number 54.
This calls into question the president's whole policy in the Middle East. Look what's happening in Syria, in Egypt, now in Libya. Consider the distance between ourselves and Israel. The president said that he was going to put daylight between us and Israel. The president's policies throughout the Middle East began with an apology tour. And pursue a strategy of leading from behind, and this strategy is unraveling before our very eyes.
Now, obviously, President Obama did not agree with that analysis. Here's what he said. This is number 55.
Secretary Clinton has done an extraordinary job, but she works for me. I'm the president, and I'm always responsible. And that's why nobody's more interested in finding out exactly what happened than I did. The day after the attack, Governor, I stood in the Rose Garden, and I told the American people and the world that we are going to find out exactly what happened, that this was an act of terror. And I also said that we're going to hunt down those who committed this crime.
The missing in all of this was the discussion about the video, and that, unfortunately, but I'm sure, like I said, there's another debate that's going to come up. Hey, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in the next half hour of the broadcast as well at 1-800-684-3110, so keep calling. Lines are jammed now. Let's try to get another couple calls in before the end of this segment.
All right, let's go to Dolores calling from California on line 1. Dolores, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Dolores.
Hi, Jay. I just want to say God bless you and
thanks
for all the work you're doing.
Thanks.
My question is on the debates. I just noticed that I don't know how the mediators are picked. I was just
moderators.
The moderators.
Yeah.
They seem to be biased toward the president. I just don't understand how they pick.
Well, we're going to find that soundbite with Candy Crowley, you know, agreeing with the president, and then later saying that she went ahead and that Governor Romney actually was right in the main of what he said. But that's agreed to by both the presidential campaigns, Republicans, Democrats, and the presidential commissions. So that's how it's decided. And Candy Crowley, I thought, showed a tremendous amount of bias, especially on the Libya issue, and also the way she engaged the timekeeping and cutting Governor Romney off and being more deferential to President Obama. Do we have either one of those bites? We do. Let's go. Number 57.
I think it's interesting. The president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
That shows a little bit of bias by Candy Crowley. Now, and when she's on CNN after the debate, number 71, this is what she says.
So I knew that the president had said, you know, these acts of terrors won't stand, or whatever the whole quote was. And I think actually, you know, because right after that, I did turn around and say, but you're totally correct that they spent 2 weeks telling us this was about a tape and that there was a, you know, this riot outside the Benghazi consulate, which there wasn't. So he was right in the main. I just think he picked the wrong word.
Yeah, I think there's that, you know, by the way, she did not come out during the debate so aggressively on the video issue against President Obama, so that she's recasting what she actually did there. Hey, folks, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to get to you in the next segment of the broadcast, so I encourage you to stay on the line. Let's kind of get a roundtable again of where we see this thing going. Let me start with Than. Than, looking at it now, we're a couple weeks, what are we up? 19 days from the election, I guess. Where do you see things? How do you see it lining up right now?
I think we're focused on those same swing states, Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, Virginia. Jay, but just I don't think this Libya thing is behind us, actually, because if the president concluded on September the 12th that this was terrorism, why did he spend 2 weeks on David Letterman, The View, Univision, and at the United Nations telling us a different story? Terrorism is the most significant issue a president's going to face. You can't have a president lying to the American people. If it was a terrorism on 9/12, it should have been terrorism in the 2 weeks to follow. And I think that that is still going to be a major issue in these swing states.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'll give my comments. I'll save mine until the end. David?
Well, I hope that Candy Crowley enjoyed her first and last opportunity to be a debate moderator, because no Republican will ever agree to her again.
No, absolutely not. But she was pretty awful.
Putting that aside, I think Than's exactly right. We're going to hear a lot more about Libya, and that is not a conversation that this administration wants to have.
I actually think you've got a confluence of two things that have taken place in this election so far, which have showed that the shift to Governor Romney is significant and real. Whether it's enough to win the election, that's going to be decided on Election Day. You had a very good debate performance by Governor Romney in the very first debate, and a very poor debate performance by President Obama, as if he was too bothered and it was too much time and why was he even there on the first debate. Then the Libya situation on top of that reminds me of the Carter-Reagan race and the unfolding drama of Iran, and how that ended up significantly curtailing President Carter's bid for re-election. I think Libya may well do that to President Obama. Having said that, the incumbent is always in a stronger position. The road to the White House, I think, is clear for both parties and for both candidates. Governor Romney, to succeed, is going to need to run the table on the states and play. But look, President Obama can't afford a misstep either. And I think the shift in momentum is significant here, and it's real. And we will see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. But we've got another debate in just a few days, so we'll have analysis for you. Hey, folks, again, we're giving you Foundations of Freedom, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And I'm encouraging everybody to either make a pledge on the phones or to make a gift online at ACLJ.org. We could easily use the help this month. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Any gift to the ACLJ is tax deductible. So that's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
There's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
Protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. It's called The Foundations of Freedom. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.